everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy, Mr. Brendan Kraft. Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Bill.
How are you?
Good. Great.
Great to have you on the other side of the glass. Brendan's going to be with us Wednesdays and Fridays as our producer and engineer of the Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday, the third day of September, 2025. I put an extra 20 in there. 2025. We're in the green thing, Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson. We've got five radio stations in one location. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted live news and talk. We're closing out on 15 years with the Buckmaster radio program at the end of the year. So that will mean like 37 years for me, 37 full years in just the Tucson radio and TV part of my career. Believe me, folks, there was a lot more before I came to town. So it's been a great ride. We have worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com when we do our telephone interviews. The live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Kevin Dahl is with us. Kevin comes in usually the first Wednesday of each month. It could vary a little bit depending on the console schedule. Kevin has eked out his primary victory, winning by, after the recount, it's official. He won the Democratic primary by 19 votes, and a judge threw out a challenge from his opponent. So he will now move on for the general election, which will be coming up before you know it. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm very good. Good to see you, Bill.
I want to talk a little bit before we talk console matters. We might get some rain, and if there was ever a time that we needed the remnants of a tropical disturbance, which is some of the you know, they do that spaghetti pattern, all the different lines when you have these tropical storms. They're now showing it moving over Baja and into Sonora, which might, I hope it means, some predictions have shown Tucson to get maybe a half inch to an inch. And I'll tell you, up at our place at the Buckmaster Bungalow, we've had maybe two kind of good rains. It's a meager monsoon.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing. Very dry.
Mm-hmm.
Climate change. Things are changing. And I hope this doesn't continue. Maybe next year we'll get a good monsoon. And in the next couple of days, 50% chance of good rain. So knock on wood.
Well, you're an elected official in a city that is on the front line of climate change. Tucson, Arizona, where just in my time here, my first visit here and first time living here was at the University of Arizona in the late 60s. And in the afternoon, you could set your clock, Kevin, by a thunderstorm almost every day in the summer at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. We have dried out considerably. We're in a 25-year drought, as you very well know. I mean, you have, you consider yourself an environmentalist, and before you became a politician, you were very active in environmental causes, working for the National Conservation Association, which speaks for national parks. You worked with Native Seed Search, the Tucson Audubon Society. Is the city doing enough, in your opinion, to really shore up, to protect ourselves from the sustainability that we really need?
No one is doing enough. The city is doing a lot, though. We have a climate action plan that we did a lot of public engagement on, and it's been around for about a year and a half, and we are doing things. We have to be concerned not only on preventing climate change by reducing our use of fossil fuels and other activities that produce the carbon emissions that is heating up our planet, but we also have to be prepared for that heat. There are very vulnerable people out there who don't have the ability to keep themselves cool. So we have cooling centers. We have programs where we're trying to get resources to people who live in uninsulated trailers, and people on the street are particularly vulnerable. So I'm afraid it's not going to get better, but we have to keep doing as much as we can.
And Project Blue was just not a good fit, was it, for the city of Tucson?
I concluded that early on. You remember I was the
You
first.
Made that announcement right here on this program. You said, I'm not in on this. I'm a hard no.
I met with the developers. I was not convinced. There was too much secrecy. But what we knew about the water use and about the energy use, it's just too much of an investment in one industry in our community, in our valley. We have better uses for water. And it would have affected everybody's electric bill, even though people say it wouldn't, but it would be such a huge consumer of electricity that the utilities would have to go to sources that are not the best sources. They're not 100% renewable energy yet. They're not carbon-free energy yet. And we have to get to that goal as quickly as possible. This would have postponed that goal, which was... have been horrible.
And one thing a couple of things came out of Project Blue. Tucson residents said, we really have to take care of our groundwater. And then the power needs, too. I mean, the power that these data centers use is enormous. So the council has moved now to regulate big water guzzlers. What's that about?
Well, as you know, Bill, the biggest water utility in our valley is Tucson Water, and our boundary goes outside of the city of Tucson. We realized that if Project Blue had been proposed for inside our water boundary, they would have been, by law, guaranteed of getting the water that they asked for. So we've put in some caps, some guidelines, some procedures for the large water users that are coming down the pike. We did it quickly, and we will review our guidelines in 6 months. But we know that there are industries coming and wanting to use our water, probably mostly for data centers, but there's some other industries that would want to use this water, would want to use a lot of the water.
Mm-hmm.
We need a diverse economy. We can't be dependent on data centers. I'm expecting in the next 10 years, there'll be some technological breakthrough and there'll be a lot of empty data centers because mm-hmm. you can all store it all in a dilithium
right.
crystal from Star Trek
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
So it's not a sustainable future investing in data centers, as we're learning from communities across the country and our friends up in Maricopa County who have a bunch of data centers and are now very concerned.
So under this ordinance, Tucson will now require all new businesses using at least 1 million cubic feet of water per month. That's about 7.5 million gallons to submit a water conservation plan to Tucson Water. Annually, Kevin, that's about 275 acre-feet of water, or about 90 million gallons. So this does send a message, and the message from the business community would be, oh gosh, Tucson's not open for business.
Well, we're concerned about the large water users. Perhaps there is a way for someone who's a large water user to make up by funding water conservation elsewhere in the valley so that it's a net zero. I wouldn't be opposed to that, but we have to have a system in place where, and we do now, where they have to go through that process, and mayor and council will be make the final decision after the end of that process.
Golf courses. Tom Muir, the city manager, said in a memo that a few golf courses connected to the utility's reclaim system use as much water in a year than the amount of that the new ordinance would cover each month. So it's a lot of water.
It's a lot of water, yeah. Yeah, and all of the golf courses that the city of Tucson runs, with the exception of one, is on reclaimed water, which is good. We're not using potable water. But reclaimed water has an energy expense and is also useful. So we need to look at the entire picture for water and energy before we have Amazon come in or some big corporation making decisions rather than the people of the city of Tucson.
So there will be an RTA next, at least on the ballot. We don't know if voters will say yes or no, but that vote will go to the voters next spring, and we're going to take a deeper dive into that in our second half hour on the program with General Ted Maxwell, who is pretty much an architect of bringing all the sides together to make this happen.
He did very good work. And, yeah. And also Mike Ortega as the interim.
Former city manager.
Executive director of RTA Impact. Yeah, we've talked about RTA in the past and I've been very critical of the management of the RTA and that they brought us to the end of the process with not fulfilling their promises. I'm generally happy with the new RTA. The unfinished projects will get finished. There's more money for transit. There's money for transit safety. We have a concern about safety on buses and on public transit. And there'll be money for making sure that some of these projects that are in place continue to be high quality roads. So, of course, it's up to the public. And it's great that in March, the public will get to decide whether they want to continue the RTA. It won't be any new taxes. It will just be a continuation of the existing sales tax for our transit needs, not just in the city of Tucson, but throughout Pima County.
The city manager, I mentioned Tim Tomier. Tim's review is coming up, I guess, at the next meeting, which will be Tuesday. Is he in any danger of losing his job?
I would suspect not, but it's very appropriate for us to evaluate a new employee. I mean, it's not a new employee. He's been in many different roles in the city of Tucson.
He was the city Tucson Waters director
and interim of Parks and Rec and other.
And he really trained under Mike Ortega to take over for this job.
Yeah. Yeah. My off-the-cuff evaluation is that Tim's doing a great job. And of course, everybody can improve and we will talk to him in executive session. And I don't think his job is in danger, but it's one of the important things that the city council and the mayor does is hire and fire and manage the city manager. And the city manager has a lot of power in our city system. So I'm looking forward to that discussion.
All right. We'll have more with Councilman Kevin Dahl, including a pilot program that will hopefully put a small dent into our unsheltered population. But right now, Kevin, we want to welcome back after their summer break, Mona's Danish Bakery. And we've talked about Mona's.
Oh, you're making me hungry, Bill.
We've talked about Mona's for many years here on this program. In fact, Mona's been around for about 20 years, and they are home of the Danish Kringle up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We were up there on, Sunday. Had probably the best piece of carrot cake I think I have ever tasted in my life. They do a fabulous job at Mona's Danish Bakery. They are open daily. Well, with the exception of Monday, they take a well-deserved break after the weekend. They're open, doors open at 7 o'clock Tuesday through Sunday. Check it out. Say hi to Steve, the owner. Tell them that you are glad they are back on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take a break right here. More with Tucson City Councilman Kevin Dahl right after this.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary.
home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Wednesday edition, even though it feels like Tuesday, of course, because we did take Monday Labor Day off, and then I was off a week prior to that. So this is kind of re-entry week after a wonderful week over in Monterey, Carmel, and Big Sur. Kevin Dahl is with us, Tucson City Councilman, and Kevin knows a little bit about Carmel. You love to visit over there, don't you?
It's a regular go-to vacation spot mm-hmm. for me and my family.
It is.
There's so much great stuff, some history, some beautiful sights, the beaches, the golden hills behind mm-hmm. it, and the redwood tree forest.
Oh,
great shops, great restaurants, good seafood.
And I think sometimes Tucsonans just look toward San Diego, and I think they're missing something if they don't include, you know, the Monterey Bay Area in there.
It's
not
experience.
That much, you know, if you're flying, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the new outdoor shelter that's getting a lot of publicity, this is the city of Tucson's launching an emergency shelter for homeless women and non-binary people. What's this all about?
Well, it's people have said, why don't you have a camp where people who are not ready to get into housing or for various reasons can't be inside, they have challenges, rather than push people out of this wash, out of that park, away from this alley, and it's kind of a whack-a-mole. The idea is, based on what's been successful in some other cities, a small camp, limited to 25, check in, check out, you're not there forever, where people can get stabilized, can have services, they're person and their possessions are safe. There's lockers for people to be. And we bring in a lot of services. So it's city land on Grant Road, close to Stone Avenue. It's close to where people can get transportation. It's all fenced off. There will be 24/7 security. It'll be mostly operated by nonprofit partners, some established nonprofits, Primavera and Old Pueblo Community Services. So it's a pilot. You know, we're committed to doing it for a year, and I hope it works out because it's a model that we can do elsewhere in the city. And women and people of different gender are the most vulnerable on the street. So I think there will be people who will be glad to be there. And once you have some safety, I think it's shown that people are more prone to get the services and take the steps to get out of the whatever situation brought them to the street, whether it was domestic violence, mm-hmm. drug use, economic problems. And the ultimate solution to the unsheltered is to get them shelter. And this will just be a different step for doing it. And I hope it works out.
What is the city's policy, Kevin Dahl, right now, the current policy toward dealing with and trying to help unsheltered people?
Well, we have a protocol, And we have set up a separate agency from the police to be the first contact with when a homeless encampment is reported by residents. People who have social workers who've had many of them real life experience can come in and offer services, let them know that, hey, you can't really be here. We might post that they'll be moved in a certain time. If it's an emergency, like if you're in a wash during monsoon season, people will be moved pretty quickly. And the police have a unit that help the unsheltered as well, that are well-trained in that area. And if there's illegal activity, if it's a place where drugs are being sold, then it becomes a police matter. We set up a Housing First program where we used federal funding available during the Biden administration to convert motels into low-barrier shelters and some long-term housing, especially for populations like seniors.
Do we have any idea how many of those are now up and running?
Well, there's five or six in Ward 3 alone.
Really?
Yeah. There's the Wildcat Inn, there's the Amazon Inn, the No-Tell Motel, and an adjacent motel was converted with a new building built in between them. And our latest project is Sugar Hill, right on Stone.
Are there any indications that this is helping?
Yeah, you have to have a place for people who are ready to take that step. Mm-hmm. It's hard on the street. You can't get a job when you're living on the street. You need to be able to clean yourself up, get the right clothes, get the documentation. You might have lost your birth certificate and your wallet. And so we've had really good success, for instance, at the Wildcat Inn. Once we learned that families are on the street, a single mom with kids or an entire family, don't want to seek services because they're afraid that they'll lose their kids. We made it safe for children. Once children are there, they get everything they need, they're bused to the right school, and families can put their lives back together knowing that their kids are safe and are not going to be taken by the state. So I'm proud of all the things the city is doing. It's not nearly enough. And we work with many, many nonprofit and religious partners in this effort. But of course, because of economic conditions, because of the overlay of fentanyl and opioid addiction, because of the overlay of not do very well with people who have mental problems, there's a lot to be done.
The fentanyl thing just seems, it seems like the drug issue, the open dealing is kind of out of control.
It's horrible. We don't have enough police or courts to arrest our way out of this. Mm-hmm. And for many, arrest could be part of the solution. To get, after you're arrested a few times, maybe you will start thinking about going through rehab and putting your life back together. But it's a health problem. The city of Tucson doesn't do health. Pima County does health. And there are strong partners in trying to figure out ways to do this. It takes money. Luckily, there's a court settlement with the company that started this all by inventing fentanyl and promoting it in incredible ways to doctors. And we're getting money through the state through these court settlements to set up programs.
They had promoted it to doctors as this was going to be the best solution for pain
and it still has
mitigation.
Medical use. It's still used in some surgeries. But it's a problem with our medical system. If you're not able to get the help you need dealing with pain through normal channels, one solution is to find fentanyl on the street and it's pretty cheap and your pain goes away. Now your life degrades pretty quickly too.
And of course, the argument continues about the free buses. There is this portion of the Tucsonans who say that they're just free rides to crime.
Well, and they're free rides for students and for people who are going to work who don't have enough money for a car, and they're free rides for the people who are come here to visit Tucson. So there's violence on the buses, and I do agree with bus operators who say that there is violence that we need to deal with. Of course, I've talked to bus operators who worked before the free buses, and they said there was violence then too, and it was often fighting about fares. So we need to provide more security and safety for our bus drivers, and we've asked, the mayor and council has asked staff to look at that. I believe in the free transit, but I understand a lot of people don't, and I think maybe it needs to come to a vote. I'm going to work with my colleagues next year to see if transit and housing can be an item on the ballot, as well as more public safety. People make a strong argument we need more police, but there are people who oppose that.
Would it be possible to create a transit security force? These are people that would just ride, kind of like the old, I guess it's not old, they still have sky marshals, right? You never know if they're on the, you know, why not put these people on buses?
That's a good idea. And
maybe it could be brought up.
There is that to a limited degree. Yes, mm-hmm. SunTran, which is the contractor that runs our bus systems, has a security force. It's not enough. They need better funding for that.
And well, maybe with...
In the RTA, there's some funding for it.
Yeah.
And we're looking for other places for funding for that sort of safety.
Okay. So what can people do if they're to get your newsletter?
Oh, go to our website. Google Tucson Ward 3, and you'll see our website, and you can read old issues. And if you want to sign up, it comes out every Friday. If you don't like it, you can turn it off. But we have a lot of good stuff in it.
Will your staff respond to calls?
We respond to every contact within 24 hours. That's our rule. Sometimes we don't make it for various reasons, but that's what we try to do, yes.
All right, Kevin Dahl. Talk to you next month,
thanks,
and
Bill.
We'll see how things go. Okay.
Great.
Coming up next, General Ted Maxwell, get an update on the plan that will go before voters concerning RTA Next. That's Buckmaster at the midway point on this midweek edition. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Brendan doing some great bump music. I love it. Keep it coming. Brendan.
No problem.
Kraft is going to be producing and engineering the Buckmaster Show on a regular basis now, Wednesdays and Friday. So we're glad to have this fine young man on the other side of the glass. All right. Talk a little bit about Green Things. Always a pleasure to do so. All the Green Things and all the people that work there, and really all the people of Tucson, are hoping we get some rain that could be coming. We hope the remnants of a tropical storm Thursday through Saturday. So we'll see. But we've been doing replacement gardening at the Buckmaster Bungalow because many of the plants didn't make it through this really, really hot and unusually dry summer rainy season. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. That's the address for Green Things. Green Things is really an institution in this area. 13-acre site also has Zocalo Village. And at Zocalo Village, you will find Arizona's largest selection of pottery. GreenThingsAZ.com. And ZocaloVillage.com. We do want to say also a shout out to Sean and his team at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. They sponsor our live line when we do our telephone interviews at the Buckmaster Show. And of course, folks are always willing to call in. The live line is always open, 790-2040. Let's welcome now General Ted Maxwell, a well-known now radio host. His show going, Ted's show is going very well. He's part of the Morning Voice team. Ted's day is Tuesday, and he's on from 7 to 9 doing a great job, bringing in a lot of newsmakers. General Maxwell is a very busy guy. He's a retired two-star Air Force general, headed up a supervised leadership role at the Guard here, the Air National Guard. For how many years, General, with the Guard?
Bill, I moved out here in 99, and I was with the Tucson unit till 2013.
What was your duty station in 99 before coming here?
I was at Langley Air Force Base in Virginia. Wow. I was active duty, so that was my last active duty assignment before I joined the Guard full-time, and it was the greatest move I've ever made in my life.
Well, General Maxwell believes in community service. He's the CEO and president of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. He serves Pima County on the board of the State Transportation Department. And subsequently, because of that role, he is on the 9-member board, the Regional Transportation Authority Board, which consists of mayors and tribal leaders in our area. And everybody now has come together, and yesterday it was made official by the Pima County Board of Supervisors. This will be voted on, the new RTA plan.
And that's the greatest news that I could ever hear right now. If you had talked to me in the last 3 months ago, I was looking like it was long shot, possibly of getting it done. The emotions on the board, I think, went up and down. Same thing with the technical management committee. But I will tell you, it was a true team effort to get it where it was in those last few
months. How'd you get it over the goal line?
Nobody wanted to say no. And I'll give Tim Tamir
city big manager.
Kudos. He worked really hard. John Post out at Marana worked incredibly hard on that with his city. And Mike Ortega had a huge piece in it. When Mike came in, he started looking at things differently. And I think the thing that got us all kind of brought together was when Mike was proposing only a 10-year tax. I think everybody said, can we really not come to an agreement on a 20-year plan and a 20-year tax? I mean, it makes sense. It's simple to explain to the voter. Here's the 20-year plan, which is required by the statute. Mm-hmm. And here's how we're going to make sure that we pay for all these things. Mm-hmm. But there was everybody, Mayor Romero, Mayor Winfield, Mayor Murphy, they all came together. Matt Hines had a few concerns about it, and I think his biggest fear is that it won't pass, because he believes that the whole attitude right now is, you know, anti-government,
anti-spending. But we don't know.
Well, here's the thing we've got. We've got a little less than 200 days now to remind people of the good that came out of RTA 1, the good that is in RTA next. And more importantly, we've got to make sure everybody understands what life looks without it.
Mm-hmm.
July 1st next year, we would have started losing $125 million a year, a year for our regional transportation. From the state and feds, we only get $46 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking 71% of our regional transportation money would have been gone. In a blink of an eye, $30 million to Pima County's transit system. would have been gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people are going, well, you can get it somewhere else. You could have done this. You could have done that. But the fact of the matter is 20 years ago, the voters of this community said, after voting down numerous times, mm-hmm. regional transportation plans, you know, mm-hmm. crosstown freeways, mm-hmm. okay, we'll just do this, a streetcar or a trolley system. I mean, it didn't matter what it was. There was nothing that captured the region. So anytime you went to a vote, you couldn't capture mm-hmm. anybody. RTA 1 gave everyone something to love. I guarantee probably not everybody loved all of it, mm-hmm. but that's going to be the same thing with RTA Next. There's stuff in RTA Next I don't like as much, but somebody, it's a passion for. They mm-hmm. want it. And I think when you look at it, you go, that's the point of regionalism. Mm-hmm. That's how you bring municipalities together. When it came done, all five of the mayors, Roxy Valenzuela, the other four I've mentioned, they all were yeses. The two tribal chairs, well, Chairman Hernandez was not present at the meeting, but Chairman Jose was a yes. And we ended up with an 8-0 vote to put it to send it to the supervisors, and the supervisors, as they should, just mm-hmm. did a 5-0 vote and mm-hmm. Sent it to the ballot. So March 10th of next year, it's going to be another big day. There's going to be campaigns. It's kind of going to be unique, I think, for the Citizens Bill, because you'll start hearing a lot of us talk about the good of RTA, but we can't get into full campaign mode. Why?
Mm-hmm.
We've got an election in November.
All right, right.
And you don't want to get people confused.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be an election in November, which obviously the city of Tucson just had council member Dahl on.
You've got to have a soft start, a soft launch.
Oh, yeah. you're already hearing it.
Yeah.
You're already hearing people put stuff out there about how important and thanking the mayors and the mm-hmm. elected officials for getting there, not mm-hmm. giving up, coming to a solution. And I think when you look at it, you see all the citizen input. You know, the Citizen Advisory Council process was not easy. It was kind of ugly. There's some people that were really disgruntled on it. But to a lot of those folks, I'd say, look what's in the final plan. Your voice is there. Your voice was heard. 27% of the plan goes to transit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a bit. And some people go, oh, that's too much. That's a big segment mm-hmm. of our community. To be an effective regional transportation system, you need the ability for roads and cars to move. You need the ability for buses and transportation to move. The most important thing is you need the ability for people to get around. I think one thing Mike Ortega understood when he came in at the city manager, the first thing he faced back in 2015 was a transit strike.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew who was complaining the loudest when transit was on strike?
Mm-mm.
The business owners, because right. nobody could get to their jobs.
Right, right.
So we've got to understand that for us to succeed as a region, mm-hmm. we need to be regional on some big important issues, mm-hmm. and transportation mm-hmm. is definitely one of them.
I think it helps for those that are pushing an initiative like this to look at what the opposition is going to say. What do you see as kind of, what will the negatives be on this? And then you can look at how you counter.
You're gonna have me give you the negatives? Now, come on, Bill. I don't want to do that.
I know.
Here's the biggest negative we've got.
Okay. Are people going to say, I mean, what's this cost the taxpayer?
So the cost of the taxpayers, it's a half-cent sales tax. It's going to be the same half-cent sales tax you're paying now.
Okay.
You vote for this on March 10th, July 1st, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You pay the same amount of sales tax.
Okay.
Nothing changes.
Okay.
The fear I've got is there was so much bad rhetoric towards the end of getting there. There was so much disgruntlement. You know, all the projects aren't getting done. We were $300 million short on revenue. That means when we went to the ballot in 2006, we told the taxpayer, we're going to collect $2.1 million from you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? We ended up only collecting $1.8. Mm-hmm. So the taxpayer didn't even pay the full $22.1, but that's because a lot of that was based on growth, mm-hmm. which we didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So this, we've got to get past the rhetoric of all the concern about all the projects that
right.
we're going to get built. Because guess what? They're all getting built.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, seven of them are on the ballot because of some minor changes or mm-hmm. other substantial changes that have to go to the voters. But the fact of the matter is all those projects are going to get complete. We're also taking the pessimistic view. So we're conservative in our estimates. And we're still getting 31 more projects.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting $726 million more for transit. We're getting more money for arterial rehabilitation, something that didn't exist in the first one. There's over $200 million to fix the arterial roads that we've got right now that everybody in this region uses, and they're not in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got money in there that I think everybody will like. Some will like some parts of it better than others, but we've got to stop playing the city didn't get their fair share. The city was treated disrespectfully. I'm not going to argue with any of those things. There were some worries about it. But the numbers in here, Mayor Romero and the entire city council said, we can live with those numbers. Those are good. And, oh, by the way, they've made a promise that they are really going to complete all those early ones. So when you look at the good, we focused too much on the bad in the last 2 to 3 years while we tried to negotiate to a good plan. Let's go back and look at the good. Look at Broadway. Look at Speedway. Look at Grant, which, yes, is now also going to get completed. Look at the traffic interchanges, Ina Road traffic interchange, getting on and off the freeway at Ina. Couldn't be easier right now. Or Orange Grove is significantly improved in that area. Tangerine Road has been expanded. Sarita Road has been made better. Houghton Road has been made. If you just go around and look at all the places in this community that the regional plan voted by the majority, not even a close majority, a significant majority of the voters back in 2006 have all come through. And don't forget about the streetcar. Probably one of the most visible projects, and one that's used by visitors, used by the students, used by all that. Came out of RTA 1. And the arguments against it, I will say, don't meet it. You're still going to have some folks who are anti-sales tax. They are. We know that. The polling shows it. Everybody, when you tell them that, hey, do you want all this stuff? They go, that's great. Then you go, will you continue the half-cent sales tax? Boom, and it jumps up about 15, 20%. That's okay. Everybody's got the right to do that. But overall, RTA 1 has had a significant impact on our region. And without it, money immediately goes away. All those roads that we've got money to finish may not get completed. Oh, they will, but it'll be 10 to 15 years from now.
Yeah.
And the transit hit, you just can't overplay that, because it's not just SunTran and the folks that use it daily. It's paratransit, it's dial-a-ride, it's stuff that the elderly and those who have a hard time getting around rely on. There's no money for that. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to pay for that. And that's going to mean there's going to be cuts elsewhere.
All right. We're going to need to take a break right here. General Ted Maxwell sticks around for segment number 4. Coming up is the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. Continue. Stay with us.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past 2 decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is our midweek edition. It's my re-entry week back after a great vacation over in the Monterey Bay area. If you're looking to get away, a perfect time of year in the land of enchantment, that's New Mexico, Silver City in Grant County. Only about a three-hour drive. It's an easy drive. You hit I-10, take a left at Lordsburg, then you head up the mountain to Silver City, 5,000 to 7,000 feet elevation. Boy, this time of year, not only is it going to be about 10 to 15 degrees cooler, but those nights are just like heaven as you begin to transition into my favorite time of the year, the autumn. So start your planning right now, southwestnewmexico.org, the starting place for a great getaway to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're talking about the RTA Next, the next 20-year program to support regional transportation. General Ted Maxwell is here, a radio host on Tuesdays from 7 to 9 on KVOI. He is the representative from the Arizona Department of Transportation on the 9-member RTA board, which voted unanimously, correct, General, for the RTA Next?
They did. It was an 8-0 vote to send it to the ballot. Mm-hmm. To send it to the County Board of Supervisors to move to the ballot. And it was a 7-0 with one abstention on the plan itself. Mm-hmm. There's so much work that went into it. There were so many people that moved off some positions to help make this happen. You know, it was truly a collaborative effort from all five of the municipalities, as well as the Board of Supervisors. Obviously, the tribal chairman understand the impact it has on their members, because their members live in all of our municipalities. Mm-hmm. So it went through unanimously. Since then, Michael Ortega, the executive director of the RTA, has been going around to the mayor and councils, to the different council meetings, and made the pitch. And he so far walked away with nothing but, as I understand, nothing but unanimous votes supporting mm-hmm. that. That mm-hmm. included the big one, and that was the city of Tucson came along, 7-0 vote for RTA Next.
So now you need these leadership, elected leaders, to get behind the program in speaking out for it.
We will need every leader in this region to speak out and be positive about this. Mm-hmm. Again, there's going to be some things some people aren't going to like, and there's going to be some things, but I think there's something in here that everybody will like, mm-hmm. and that is going to make this a better community.
But it is not going to cost anybody more money. I think that's a real important point here.
And that's the reason it was so important to go by March. If we had failed in that last meeting to get at least a majority vote, unanimous was much better, to send something to the ballot in March, this would have expired. And once it's expired, now you have to go back and get convince the voter that not only is this a good plan, but you want to pay another half cent for it. Because by the time we'd get it to the ballot, it probably would have been another year and a half. And guess what? People start getting used to paying certain rates. The important thing, everybody needs to take a look around and think, did I get my money's worth for the half cent? Mm-hmm. And I think even the people that would tell you they didn't, I bet you they're driving on all these roads.
Yeah.
Or they're riding on transit. There is something here that everybody benefits from. Mm-hmm.
So obviously your members at Southern Arizona Leadership Council, I would assume they'd all be on board.
RTA Next has been a big push for SALC. Mm-hmm. Rick Myers, Lynn Dusenberry, a lot of our members were involved with the first RTA. Mm-hmm. Cy Shore was the first RTA chair of the board. Mm-hmm. He was a longtime board member at SALC. Rick Myers actually was the executive director and a member of SALC at one time. Mm-hmm. So infrastructure is the backbone to an economy. If you don't have good infrastructure, I mean, for years, Joe Snell at Suncor, or now the Chamber of Southern Arizona, would tell you that people would come in and they go, do you guys not care about your community? Your roads are awful.
Yeah.
It is the backbone for our economy. The economy is the backbone for quality of life. Mm-hmm. And if you let one fall down, the other ones are going to be very hard to lift.
And we've talked about the fact that Project Blue, which was defeated, of course, by the city of Tucson, that could be a big negative for bringing other businesses here, new business. Boy, but you talk about if you shoot down a transportation plan, what does that say?
They look at regions. When a company comes here, they don't say, okay, I'm only going to look at that city. They come and say, I'm going to look at Southern Arizona. I'm going to look at this region. Mm. And I think Project Blue is a great example of why we need even more regionalism here.
Mm-hmm.
The county approved something. It went to the city. They shot it down. Now you've got people trying to convince the county to... Well, if we'd had a regional approach on all these conversations, you wouldn't have this. It how it all's played out on that specific project makes us look silly, kind of amateurish.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't encourage a lot. Now, if we can't get a regional sales tax, if we aren't willing to say, I am willing to invest in the roads and the infrastructure of my region, why would a business come?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can still get some companies to come here, but it's going to be very difficult because they're going to go someplace that they drive through the roads and they see a good connected way for their employees to get from one side of town to the other, for their business, their supplies, their goods, the economy to roll. And right now, RTA Next will be the next big vote we need.
How are the members looking at the economy right now? Your members, General Maxwell?
Well, I think they're all still looking with a positive light. I mean, the numbers on the stock market's been surprisingly strong.
Yeah, it's been surprisingly robust.
I think from my personal perspective, I'm not as worried about the economy. What I'm worried about most is the idea that China, India, North Korea, and the Russian governmental leaders were all on stage together the other day. That bothers me.
Mm.
But that's for another show and another conversation.
India was on board.
Mm-hmm. India was there. Mm. President Modi.
Well, you can kind of see how that could happen because they've been hit pretty hard by the Trump administration with tariffs.
There's no doubt. You know, I you've heard me say it a lot. I think we still live in the greatest country on the planet. That's why people want to come live here, because of our freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
But you start boxing out too many other countries and they start pulling themselves together and it creates a different environment.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be smart.
So what have you learned as a radio host?
What I've learned is less of me, more of my guests. I think just the preparation that goes into it.
Right.
Getting guests that you know, having an idea where you want to take them.
Being a good listener, right?
Yeah. And then let the guests tell their stories.
Exactly.
You don't tell their stories. They tell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And when you catch that moment where you can ask a question or turn it, it can make a big difference. But the thing I've learned most about it, it's a lot of fun.
It is. All right, General Ted Maxwell, we will listen to General Maxwell Tuesdays 7 to 9 on KVOI. Thank you, General.
I appreciate it, appreciate it, Bill, and welcome home.
Thank you very much. It was great to get away, but it's always good to come back home. All right, on behalf of the General and Brendan Kraft, doing a great job on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster wishing everybody well.